Welcome. There's only one way to get acquainted with the nature of existence, and that is to relax. An impossible smile. All of this isn't as serious as it's cracked up to be. When we just relax in a completely natural way, when we relax our body and mind completely, then we taste definitively and decisively the nature of everything. That's all that's needed. There's not a single other thing that is needed. What we're born with is what we always are, and we're born in a completely relaxed and spontaneous state with no need to find an identity to hang on to. When we're born, we are an expression of the unborn, but we don't even need to have a thought about that. We don't need to cling to any kind of physical sensation or mental sensation, or even to differentiate the two, physical and mental. When we're born, we manifest as spontaneous awareness, a spontaneous expression of unborn basic space with no need to identify as anything. Everything else comes upon us from what we learn. But what we always are remains. It's never hidden. It's always the most overt reality. The unmanifest and the manifest are not two. They're never two. Everything, no matter what it is comprised of basic things. And that basic space is not a hidden reality, it's completely overt. The only thing is that we more and more tend to think of ourselves as this rather than this. But we're always comprised of space, and today we can even show ourselves that with advanced scientific instrumentation, so we can take an electron microscope or a particle accelerator and smash ourselves to smithereens and everything else too, and all that's there is space. So what's the big deal? Space is completely relaxed and space is completely unmanifest. There's no division between this and this. It's all basic space. Basic space has three naturally occurring aspects. One is timeless awareness. So timeless awareness itself, the awareness by which we know we are manifest, is indivisible from that basic space. Awareness is not generated by the human form. Awareness is inseparable from basic space itself. So not only are we comprised of basic space, but we are also comprised of this aspect of timeless awareness, the indestructible matrix of timeless awareness that is equal to basic space. No matter what happens to us, awareness is. So our physical form can be manifest or unmanifest. Regardless, we are aware. Nothing ever happens to awareness. In fact, nothing ever happens. But there's no need to ponder that. Just have a laugh and go on. You don't need to run around for the next 3 days going, nothing ever happened, nothing ever happened, nothing ever happened. Just rest completely. Relax as the nature of everything. And it becomes perfectly clear that nothing ever happened. fun, really, rather than being some kind of overwhelming philosophical topic. Of course, if you enjoy that, that's okay too, because everything's included. But you don't need to understand philosophy or study philosophy to be. If you want to study philosophy, that's great, that's wonderful, but it's not necessary. Just completely relax in all situations, and what will happen is that you'll find you have tremendous energy. Just by the relaxation of all the fixed reference points, you'll have tremendous energy. You'll see more and more that nothing has ever had an identity in and of itself. That everything, no matter what it is identityless and insubstantial, comprised of the same basic space, with nothing excluded. There's never been anything that exists elsewhere. So the unmanifest aspect of basic space is timeless awareness, and its manifest aspects are its natural presence is everything, and the dynamic benefit of that natural presence. So it's very easy. Even if we want to understand it in a reasonable, logical way, it's very easy to understand. It doesn't require much. Just relax, and it's easy to see. Would you like a glass of water? Could someone help our friend with a glass of water, please? Sometimes I'm up here and I just start hacking away. I can't stop. You know, it's spontaneous. There's nothing that can be done about it. I have some little mints I pop in my mouth. Take a sip of water. It's all okay. Life is not a test. Whether we look good or not, we're timelessly free. It's all okay. Even if we learn that it isn't okay, it's still all okay. So, you know, no matter what seems to be going on, all the people, all the things, an easy way to look at it is that within the all-encompassing pure view of timeless awareness, all points of view appear as this dynamic energy. All points of view appear as this natural presence and dynamic benefit of the unmanifest. So the unmanifest and the manifest are not two. There's never been a division. So if we try to examine them as two, then we'll end up absolutely nowhere. We'll just end up with a headache. We'll be looking for freedom, and what we'll really need is a bottle of aspirin for the headache that comes from trying to study what can't be studied or learned. So you see, the basic nature of everything is one entirely beyond words and concepts and learning. Everything that is already without needing to be learned. Now, this can seem inconceivable to us, and it really isn't inconceivable, because many of us have been taught, and we've taught ourselves, that we must learn in order to understand what's going on with ourselves and others, and that we must think a lot too in order to understand what's going on with ourselves and others. However, inseparable from the original purity of space itself is the natural order of everything, the natural order and wisdom of everything that is completely beyond learning in all words and concepts. But what happens when we completely relax? We become wise. We become wise beyond words. Now, there are certain kinds of wisdom that can be learned by putting a bunch of points of view together. We can call that ordinary wisdom. But the exalted wisdom that sees everything as it is beyond all that. Doesn't require learning or studying. Doesn't need to have any contrived ways of communicating or thinking or writing or anything else. Now, the way we can identify speech that's truly wise in an exalted way, a communication of that kind, is that it lets us know exactly who we are in a very decisive way, with no beating around the bush. So it introduces us to the direct experience of our true nature right away. It doesn't say, oh, hang around for a few decades and work really hard and then you'll find out who you already are. What already is doesn't need to be twisted into certain postures in order to figure out who it is. And whether those postures are mental postures or physical postures, none of that is required to remark at the absolute order of everything. The absolute order of everything is understood definitively through complete relaxation, like pouring water into water, or oil into oil, or sky into sky. Everything that appears is the basic space in which it appears, like pouring space into space. So there's nothing to be figured out, absolutely nothing to be figured out, absolutely nothing to be described. What we are, we always are. We don't need to contrive anything to be that. No matter how much you've plagued yourself with your thinking or doing or emotional life or whatever it is, it's all okay. None of it needs to be changed in order for you to understand permanently who you are. Whatever your thinking is, whatever your emotions are completely circumstantial. And they're also completely unpredictable, if you haven't realized that already. They're completely unpredictable. So, you know, if you've worked for decades trying to control them and predict them, just sit back and relax and say, well, they're unpredictable. There's nothing that need be done. I don't have to buy any more self-help books. How much money would you save for a great vacation or trip if you didn't buy all those self-help books? So, yeah. When we relax, we start to see how everything is relaxed. No matter what it is, it's so completely relaxed. Just look at space itself. It's completely relaxed. And since everything is comprised of space, everything is already completely relaxed. No matter what's going on, it can be a huge explosion, an avalanche, a world war, a nuclear holocaust, great bliss, saintliness, sinnerness, whatever it is, it's all completely relaxed. Nothing needs to be changed. The impeccable purity of everything is guaranteed in a primordial and fundamental way. And oh, by the way, that includes you. So rather than accepting all these exclamations about who you are, karmically bound, subject to reincarnation, original sinner, the one who fell after the apple was eaten, whatever it was, it's all malarkey. That's an Irish word. It means that it's made up. It means that it's just something somebody once thought up and then told other people and they believed it. When we just relax in a totally natural way, we can arrive at these conclusions ourselves. We see more and more that rather than original sin or some kind of taint or stain of karma being true about us, that what's really true about us is this original purity of impeccable faith. That's what's really true. That's what's unalterable. That is what is completely indestructible. Now, you're not sitting up here, so you're not seeing what I'm seeing looking out here at you. But what I see is everyone, as I'm speaking, everyone's face just totally relaxing and shining. Like, oh, I knew this all along. Because we do. We know it all along, no matter how much we hear otherwise or study otherwise or think otherwise. We know it all along. We can never forget. It's impossible to forget because you see that which forgets or remembers is awareness. And timeless awareness, as I've already stated, is completely inseparable from impeccably pure space. So it's impossible to forget. It's also impossible to remember. Both the forgetting and the remembering, what are they? Thank you. So you see, in the absolute non-differentiation of everything, nothing needs to be changed, nothing needs to be done. Now, sometimes when we hear that, we might get a little frightened, like, oh, wouldn't moral chaos ensue when everything is equal? But absolutely not. That isn't what the absolute natural order of everything is. But the natural order of everything is dynamically beneficial, entirely beneficial, wholly positive in every way. When we relax into the natural wisdom of everything. And what we first notice is self-benefit, just through completely relaxing. Self-benefit. The self-benefit of not needing to continue to fiddle around with our thoughts, emotions, and experiences. Of just completely relaxing all those frameworks, those conceptual reference points. We're not separating out from anything like a cat watching a mouse. We're also releasing fiddling around with the idea of a personal identity. We don't even have to examine that or anything else. Just relax as awareness, rest as awareness, and the personal identity becomes just another point of view within awareness. It's not some kind of special point of view that houses all the other points of view. Just a point of view that's equal to every other point of view. So if you're working on your ego or personal identity or individuality or something you think is in the way of who you are, just stop, because any working on it perpetuates it. It just gives it a new angle. Just like putting more points of view in the personal identity wheel there. Or dump truck or whatever. Can get pretty big. Now, a lot of the times we think we are this personal identity, and we've decided that what this personal identity is made up of is our personal history of thoughts, emotions, and experiences. So that's what we call our identity, the accumulation of these thoughts, emotions, and experiences. But exactly where have these things been accumulated? Show me. If you can show me somewhere where all these things are definitively accumulated, stored, that might be able to prove that that is so, but no one can show me that, and no one will be able to show me that. So you see, this is an assumption only. It's a belief system and an assumption that's entirely conventional by nature. It has nothing to do with the true reality of who you are. And all that desperate holding to this accumulation of thoughts, emotions, and experiences as one's identity is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to try to hold on to nothing. Have you ever tried to hold on to pure space? That would be very frustrating. So this is the case with assuming that we are something we are not. It's exhausting. We assume we are something we are not, and then we try to fix it. So we try to analyze and fix nothing. Just let go. Relax. Smile. Enjoy yourself as you're meant to be in all situations, no matter what they are. When those stormy, afflicted states come up in the mind or the emotions, completely relax. There's nothing you need to do about it. They disperse in and of themselves. If you just relax, you'll see that that's the case. You don't have to believe a word I say. Just show yourself that what I'm saying is true. Just relax, and whatever it is, it'll vanish in and of itself, like the flight path of a bird in the sky. In order for the bird to disappear into the sky, we don't have to get up there and coax it along or push it away or pull it in or anything else. It just does its own thing. And such is the circumstantial nature of all points of view. They're just the dynamic energy of awareness and nothing else. They're inseparable from awareness, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. There's no need to try to separate out the color blue from the sky, and there's no need to try to separate out points of view from awareness. They're their own undoing. Have you ever written out an outline for a speech or had to give a speech up in front of people? You work on it for days and get a bunch of books or look things up on the internet, make sure everything's going to be included in your speech, and you're a little nervous, or maybe a lot nervous, so the night before you don't sleep much and you think about everything else that should be in the speech. Maybe sleep a half an hour, get up in the morning and you're still worried about whether everything's going to be in there, maybe look up a few more things on the internet. Our natural way of speaking is completely uncontrived. It doesn't require any studying. So what could be a better bonus than that, or fringe benefit of awareness? No need to get upset and worried about all the speeches you may need to give to between 1 and 2 and 100,000 or 500,000 people. Everything happens in a completely relaxed way. And we know this through ourselves simply by resting as awareness no matter what's going on. Can't come about in any other way. Or maybe you don't even want to rest as awareness. That's okay. Just keep showing up and conviction will dawn. Don't dive back into the scenario where your identity is based on your accumulation of thoughts, emotions, and experiences. And especially don't dive back into comparing yourself to historical figures. The exalted ones. Because, you know, whenever that happens, it's the kind of thing of, I'm not like that exalted one. So you see, all the exalted ones, they're just points of view too. What's really impeccable about all the exalted ones, including you, is that they're nothing but pure space. So any emanation of speaking or form or wisdom or qualities or activities, it's all pure space. Something that's already present is everyone. If you're able to just rest, you are greatly fortunate. You're greatly fortunate because it means that you don't need to rely on conceptual frameworks. It means that already within yourself, you've experienced a decisive openness that allows you to just relax as that openness with no need to rely on conceptual frameworks, with no need to pick apart everything that I'm saying and understand it. In that openness, there's the ability, the capacity to understand the underlying implications of what I'm saying. In its broader scope, whether it's for you or for the benefit of others. In the conventional way of thinking about things, intellectual prowess is at the top of the heap. And if we can test your intellectual prowess and show that it's better than everybody else's, you're really at the top of the heap. There are a lot of heaps all over India. What are they all made of?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to getting acquainted with who we are, there's something else that puts us at the top of the heap. And that's complete openness with no need to rely on conceptual frameworks. Just relax. Be completely relaxed. Even if you have a propensity to intellectually scrutinize, examine, speculate about everything, just relax is the essence of all that speculation. Whatever your circumstantial thoughts, emotions, and experiences are, they're all okay. Whether you're an intellectual analyzer or subject to volcanic displays of emotion or whatever they are, all is the magical display of pure space. It's all absolutely equal, no matter what it is. That's the point. It's completely relaxed. The sky's relaxed. Everything, every skylight thing within the sky is relaxed. As it only is sky-like in its essence. Every thought you've ever had is completely sky-like. All the thoughts right now are completely sky-like. And all the thoughts you'll ever have in the future are completely sky-like. So now that's settled. Inseparable from pure space is the sheer force and power of everything exactly as it is. If you're looking for powers or power or force or whatever it is, whatever it might be called, it's never been anywhere else. Power and force is completely relaxed. The greatest power you'll ever encounter is the power of the openness of your own mind. There is no power, or in Sanskrit, city, greater than that. All displays of whatever kind are projections of only that. So just relax and enjoy the ride. Whether you're barfing or running along happily through the flower fields, it all happens in a relaxed way. I just had to mention that, I guess, because in India there's a lot of barfing. The orifices to the grand display. Everything's included. In the most sacred of all talks, everything's included. Does anyone like have a question they'd like to ask?
What do you mean by conceptual framework?
Points of view, just any point of view. Fiddling around with any point of view. So a conceptual framework can be something like a personal identity, your own personal identity. That's the conceptual framework. thinking that your personal identity is associated with an accumulation of your thoughts, emotions, and experiences. That's the conceptual framework. Thinking that your being is within the skin line of the body, that's the conceptual framework. Thinking that your awareness depends on whether you're alive or dead, that's the conceptual framework. Thinking that your awareness depends on being on planet Earth, that's the conceptual framework. Thinking that your breathing has something to do with whether you're aware or not, that's the conceptual framework. Thinking that your heartbeat has something to do with whether you're alive and aware or not, that's the conceptual framework. Your body is basic space and nothing else. All appearances are self-appearances of that basic space. All sounds are self-sounds of that basic space. Thinking that everybody else is somebody like you are, that's the conceptual framework. Thinking that life is meant to be fraught with disturbance is a conceptual framework. How many days do you have? Do you have something more you'd like to ask about that? Thinking that love is something you get from somebody else is a conceptual framework. When we just relax, we find ourselves filled with tremendous love, energy, and wisdom. A love that is so inconceivable, but yet the love we've always been seeking. It's all in the relaxed, complete perceptual openness of our own mind, inseparable from it. Never up or down or in or out or located anywhere at all. When we rest, we become truly capable of loving.
Conceptual framework and mm-hmm. reverence point, is it the same?
Yeah. Often, though, conceptual frameworks include a lot of reference points, mm-hmm. all within one. It's just like if you rest with the notion that your body, your actual body, is basic space rather than the skin line and the skeleton. There are a lot of points of view within that conceptual framework that go all at once. That they just don't have any identity any longer for you.
So like it's a bigger container of conceptual framework and a bigger container of
We've got to keep it very simple. Let's just say all-encompassing peer view of awareness and points of view. That's simple. Once we start to label them, it seems like there are a whole bunch of things that have to be dealt with. First, you know, you have a person, and then that person's got to do something. They've got to figure out what they think and feel, and look back at their life and dredge up all their experiences and start looking at all the other people, mommy and daddy, and what they did wrong, usually. And so you see, it's much easier to just relax. Anything that we've learned, no matter how amazing it may seem, quantum physics, string theory, the most advanced reaches of the internet, the most advanced reaches of other scientific instruments we've put together, and we think, oh gosh, we're so great, look at all these things we've manifested for our, through our material powers, it can't get much better than this, and 100 years from now, it'll all look ridiculous. Why invest so much importance in it? This is elementary, kindergarten-type discernment or discrimination to look at things the way they are. We can easily see that all the things that were thought to be wonderful 100 or 200 years ago, now they're silly, like bloodletting, in order to heal. Now today we think that robotic surgery, that it can't get any better than that. But 100 years from now, that's going to look like bloodletting looks to us now. So to see everything as it is much easier than the necessity to cling to any kind of conceptual framework, time and space or cause and effect or anything else. It just becomes vastly less necessary. Just consider space itself. Space has no time. It has no time. It's completely timeless. Throughout all time, space is timeless. It includes all time, but space itself is completely timeless. Within space, there's absolutely no cause and effect. You can't say one part of space is the cause that led to the effect of another part of space. It's completely beyond cause and effect, time and space. That which is completely beyond causality is sitting right in your chair. Is there any doubt that space has complete control over all phenomena? Phenomena, that's another word that's synonymous with point of view. There isn't a single thing that'll ever get out of space or into it either.
I ever met who had realized their true nature had done the groundwork. Although some of those actually said, quote, stop seeing. The paradox is that they, without exception, were seekers. So there is a paradox there, but yeah, I have something I've observed. And a question, this is my third satsang, and as we're in Rishikesh, I haven't once heard the G word, so So my question to you is, do you see God in everything?
There's no one to see God in everything. God, basic space is basic space, and it can be labeled as anything. Inseparable from basic space is timeless awareness. So timeless awareness is that by which everything is known, no matter what it is. In order for God to be known, or any other term that's synonymous with God, timeless awareness is required. So there are many expressions of what this is, and one of them could be God.
Well, yeah, I didn't mean to say that God can be known. But in this place, teachings, I have no criticism of resting in spacious awareness. It's fine.
I can tell that. It's vividly clear.
But there is a burning desire for liberation from tyranny of the mind. And I'm not convinced that awareness is... Are you teaching that awareness is my true nature?
I certainly am.
Okay, my second question is, who is experiencing that awareness?
Self-knowing awareness. That's it.
Do you define this awareness as an experience?
Definitely not. It may start out seeming like an experience initially, only because of different frameworks that have been used to describe things. But in resting in awareness repeatedly until it becomes permanent at all times, if that's the way it is for any particular given moment, then it is no longer an experience. And there's no longer anyone experiencing an experience.
And my question to you would then be, who can stay in awareness?
There's no one to stay in awareness. There's no one at all to stay in awareness. When there is an introduction to awareness for most people, that awareness seems to have many reference points. There's an introduction to something that's absolutely pristine about one's own nature, but usually there are still reference points for that, like someone experiencing it. However, by just resting in that awareness, all of those points of view, all those reference points will just slip away. There's nothing that needs to be done about them. Nothing whatsoever. And there's no special way of shaping language, like there is no doer, there is no done, there is no experiencer, there is no experienced. All these things happen in a completely natural way. Whatever the description is, it's equal to every other description. When we enjoy the complete perceptual openness of all experience, then all these attempts to coax things into language that are forbidding and unapproachable, they just completely relax. Every philosophy we've ever learned completely relaxes in a timeless way. So, I like it the easy way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But as you look, Candace, there are some teachings that say, go ahead, try anything, but whatever you do or don't do, you will never, ever experience your true nature, because it is directly, indirectly unexperienceable and unknowable. And any glimpses of that are a delusion of faith. How do you respond to that?
I say that's a bunch of gobbledygook. Do you know what that is? It's a big mess. A big mess of words. You know, in just complete relaxation, with no need to even call it relaxation, then whatever word appears is completely pure by nature. So if you're toying with what it is or what it is not, or whether it's an experience or whether it's not an experience, any of these things that appear are absolutely equal in their pristine nature of complete impeccability. So there's really nothing to talk about. That's all. You know, none of the descriptions or anything that completely primordially pure. You know, if you think about yourself, that's primordially pure. If you think about yourself as a doer, that's primordially pure. If you think of yourself as an experiencer, that's primordially pure. If you think of yourself as a non-recognizer of awareness, that's primordially pure. If you think of yourself as unable to fathom God, that's primordially pure. If you think of the devil, that's primordially pure. If you think about the pain in your gut, that's primordially pure. You see, you can't turn anywhere without it being primordially pure. Any turning, churning, going hither and yon, seeking, not seeking, it's all primordially pure. And it's in the complete relaxation of everything that that's recognized by no one. Thank you. What is your name?
John Baker.
Hello, John Baker. Primordially pure.
No, I have a system that has served me well over the years. They teach it. I write three sets of them. Any opinions, judgments, criticisms, I just don't pay attention to until the third set.
It's good to get everything cleared up, John Baker. Thanks so much for coming today. It's really great to be with all of you.